In Joe Biden's White House, the Easter Bunny has gone from spreading cheer to spreading fear. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, maybe this is a little thing, but sometimes the little things are the clue you need to see a bigger picture. And at our press conference last week, White House spokesweasel Jen Psaki had the Easter Bunny come in to entertain everybody and, you know, festively dressed guy or gal in the Easter Bunny costume with all the cute Easter colors and all that, except wearing a fake mask over the fake face for fake reasons. And it just, Bill, this one got to me. You know, we have characters like the Easter Bunny to inspire kids' imaginations. Here's a fantasy creature who brings you candy. It's like Santa Claus, another fantasy creature. Spoiler alert if your young children are watching this, that brings presents to all the good little boys and girls. And these characters inspire imaginations. And what occurred to me is that the exact opposite of imagination is indoctrination. And that's exactly what we saw at the White House on Easter Sunday, when they even had cardboard cutout Easter eggs on the White House steps, or Easter bunnies on the White House steps with the masks painted on.
Well, you're absolutely right about imagination versus indoctrination. Imagination is the opening of the mind to possibilities, and indoctrination is closing the mind to possibilities. I think we should follow the science on this one, Steve. And before we follow the science on what the actual infection of COVID-19 among rabbits is, I think somebody ought to do some fundamental research and find out how it is that bunnies can lay eggs. That's the medical problem I'd be attacking before I went after the mask problem, would be this kind of business about, I'm fairly sure rabbits are mammals, and I'm pretty sure that the definition of a mammal, with the exception of the platypus, which is just here to add extra sentences to every word uttered in biology, is that no, they don't. So, yes, it is. People wonder why the country feels like it's coming apart. And people have disagreed in this country over everything since there's been a country. But what's different is that not every single thing was politicized before. Not every single thing. Baseball and football weren't politicized, and airlines weren't politicized, and Easter bunnies weren't politicized, and all the rest of it. But it is a quality of the left to have to, since government is their modus operandi, you've got to put government into everything. And so everything becomes a propaganda opportunity. And so you've got the idea of a humanoid bunny, a 6-foot-tall bunny walking around laying eggs, but is wearing a COVID mask because, we got to take the science seriously. And this is the kind of thing that is just so repugnant about this politicizing of everything. I can assure you that the time is not distant when we will see Santa Claus being used as a cautionary tale against too many large sodas, and we'll have all of it will become a weapon to pound somebody else's ideas into your head. I understand where this thing is coming from, but I, number one, disagree with it. Number two, the idea of politicizing it into fantasy characters. You're going to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs wearing masks. They'll just do it digitally. They'll just remake the movie with masks and all the rest of it. And it's not going to stop until the American people decide. You can't just walk away from it, and you can't just complain about it. You have to actively get out there and stop it. And I suppose that's kind of why we're doing the show.
Yeah, it is indeed. We're grateful to our members for producing the show and making it possible. Scott, this reminded me of something that happened about 15 years ago when Sesame Street took my absolute favorite character other than Oscar the Grouch and kind of ruined him, spoiled him for every generation of kids after this. And I'm talking, of course, about Cookie Monster. Picture a 3-year-old me trying to sing the Sea is for Cookie song, or the deep blue sea is for Cookie. But I did that because every kid loves the fantasy of being or having a blue fuzzy monster that eats nothing but cookies, because Who wouldn't want to eat nothing but cookies unless it was ice cream? But we can't have these fantasies anymore. Sesame Street took Cookie Monster and made him sing a song. I believe it was to A Woman Is a Sometimes Thing, called A Cookie Is a Sometimes Food. And they had Cookie Monster pushing carrots and oatmeal or whatever on our kids who have been robbed of the fantasy, who have been robbed of expanding their imaginations. Am I reading too much into this, or is the party that is all about for the children robbing our kids of their childhoods?
Well, as a former big Cookie Monster fan myself, I can understand how you might reach for that connection. Although anybody who knows anything about Cookie Monster knows that Cookie Monster never ate any cookies. He chewed them and they fell out of his mouth. And so the only result of Sesame Street's changing Cookie Monster's dietary habits is that vacuum cleaner sales plummeted across the United States because children were no longer spewing cookie crumbs out of their mouth the way they used to.
So, I did that once. I got in trouble for it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, who hasn't tried? I mean, we definitely did that. I understand what the White House is trying to do. And in fact, I just saw it on Senator Tim Scott had tweeted out something, and I believe it was Tim Scott, and the avatar for his Twitter feed has a picture of him wearing a mask. And I'm like, I thought, hey, Senator, you don't really have to wear a mask on your Twitter feed. You're not going to infect anybody. It's when I drive down the street and I see people alone in the car, you know, next to me,
those people
wearing the mask, or people, in some cases, I'll see people walking to work and typically they're like wearing a, you know, fast food joint t-shirt and they're walking to their job and they're wearing a mask while they walk outdoors in Texas in a stiff wind and they think they need to wear that mask. So I know they're trying to set a good example, and if they didn't, somebody on the left would probably be up in arms and say, hey, why wasn't the Easter Bunny wearing a mask? It does make some sense that the costumed character was wearing a mask if he was in close proximity to other people. I've been inside some of those costumes before. I used to deliver balloons dressed up as a character, and I know you are breathing harder than normal when you're inside of those things, and there's nothing to stop that from blowing through the blowhole there. So covering that out makes some sense. Putting masks on the cardboard bunnies, not so much. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think that politicians are so used to being under the microscope and scrutinized for every little thing that out of an abundance of caution, they think that they need to set a good example at all times. And I just think we're getting a little carried away with it. Even people who agree that if we're in a room together with other people and most people aren't vaccinated yet, and you know, then it makes some sense to wear those masks. They don't think they have to turn on TV and see Wile E. Coyote wearing a mask. There's no connection with that. Eventually, and I hope soon, this kind of nonsense will be over. In the meantime, I'm not too agitated about it. I just know PR people. And PR people think this way. And that's the kind of thing they do. And it's not some massive conspiracy or anything. It's just like, oh, we want to make sure we set a good example.
Hey, Steve, can I say something about Cookie Monster real quick? Well, first of all, I love what Scott said about Wile E. Coyote wearing a mask. If they had a mask that said Acme on it, I would buy a gross of those things.
I bet you can get on Amazon and find one.
I'm a little older than you guys. I was never that much into Sesame Street, but my favorite character was Grover, who I think we can all agree is the thinking man's Cookie Monster.
who lives in a trash can.
But there was one little point that I did want to make, and the point was that it wasn't that it was cookies. It was that there was something that made him lose control.
Yeah.
It could have been the pie monster. He could have been the anything monster. The fact of the matter was that it could have been the spinach. Well, it couldn't really have been the spinach monster.
Popeye had that cornered.
But nevertheless, that's what it was about. It wasn't about eating cookies so much as it was something that was so attractive that it made this thing just lose control. And so now you've got that under attack too, right? You can't just enjoy yourself. Well, I must actually consider the nutritional value of this cookie. And it's like, will you please leave these children alone, you horrible people?
Yeah, I didn't want to make this about masks. It's not. It's about our children and their imaginations and how we need to encourage that and not discourage that. I'm a big Lego fan. I have been for a long time, ever since I was a kid. And I love building some of these big, complicated, super detailed sets they have now. I just finished building James Bond's Aston Martin, which is a lot of fun. It's got the ejector seat and everything. But the most fun I had as a kid with the Lego was when I took apart the kit to harvest the pieces to build the thing that I wanted to build, not the, yes. the photo that was on the box. I built some really, really terrible X-Wing fighters using, you know, pieces that I had to scrounge because there were no Star Wars kits back then. But that was a lot more fun. That was a lot more satisfying and required a lot more imagination than just following the instructions now to build your hyper detailed X-Wing fighter. And you know, this, the whole Star Wars thing reminds me of the first time that I really remember childhood imagination getting crushed. And it's when George Lucas did the special editions of Star Wars back in 97 or 98, whenever that was. And we all know the Han shot first controversy, where Lucas recut the famous cantina scene where Han has a blaster pointed at him by the bounty hunter Greedo, and casually, while making conversation with Greedo, pulls his own blaster out under the table and shoots Greedo. Lucas re-edited that so the Greedo Lucas re-edited so the Greedo shoots first, misses from 3 feet away, and then Han, a split second later, shoots him in order to soften up the character. But that's the thing. You knew from the beginning that Luke was the hero. He was the hero of the movie, and that didn't really inspire your imagination. It was a fun hero's journey that he went on, and I love that. But Han Solo was the rogue. He was the ruffian. He was the guy who didn't give a damn, who becomes a hero in the end. And while it might be cool to be Luke Skywalker and swing the lightsaber around, it requires a lot more imagination on the child's part to imagine themselves turning from the ruffian to the hero. And George Lucas robbed us of that in the same way that the Biden White House is robbing children of the Easter Bunny as a magical creature who doesn't have to worry about the masks that the kids are being forced to wear all day at school. That's Your Right Angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Just a reminder, content like this needs sponsors like you. So if you've been watching these shows for free, we'd love it if you come on board and support these shows. So go to BillWhittle.com, click the Join Now button, or you can even make a one-time donation. Every little bit helps. We'd sure appreciate it. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.